This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Makes me grin, but every now and then I want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one. Oh my, my, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. I like talking about you, you usually.
Good morning, welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down Port Mansfield Way and let's check in with Captain Rihanna De La Cruz. Rihanna, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mickey. I'm doing all right. Hopefully y'all can understand me with my hoarseness.
Yeah, that's why we didn't talk last week, man. You swallowed a frog.
Oh, my goodness. It hits me really hard when it comes through. I think it's a Saharan dust that's in the air right now. I've been suffering with bad allergies ever since I was a young girl, so it just comes with the package, I guess. Something I got to deal with.
Well, that's you're kicking like a chicken. That's all that matters. I bet you suffered all the golf you played in the outdoors and all the pollen and everything else. That was probably tough on you too.
Gosh, the cedar in Austin is unreal.
Oh, and man, that cedar pollen, it messes a lot of people up.
Yeah, every quarter I had a bad allergy attack, seems like. I still do, but being down here on the Texas Gulf Coast with the humidity definitely helps my allergies for sure. But matter of fact, I've been in Baffin for the last week or so. I'm on day four of trips down here, so fishing's been phenomenal here in Baffin.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I'll be back in Port Mansfield on the tip of July. But our tide was really high here in the back, and it's come down a lot. It's mm-hmm. of course high for this time of year still, but this tide it's brought Of course, the rain has brought a lot of fresh water into our estuaries here in the back bays of Baffin, what I like to call the fingers of Baffin. So it essentially leveled out some of the high salinity, which this time of year can get up to 55 to 65 parts per thousand.
That's a lot.
It is unbelievable how salty it can get back here. But that fresh water has really helped Baffin.
Well, if you need some more, just let me know. I got plenty up my way. I can pipeline to you. Good Lord.
Send some our way, Mickey. I'm sure we can still use it.
Well, I'm sure it bettered your water clarity and quality too, huh?
Yes, it looks like tea.
It's clear. It's that clear tea look.
Yes, it's awesome. Of course, here in Baffin, you get that deep emerald green color water. But when fresh water comes in, that fresh water stays on top because it's less dense. And then on the bottom, you have that higher salinity water. But we're catching a lot of our fish on the bottom, lower column of the water because of that. Soft eyes. And then redfish, of course, they are ambushing bait like crazy and way, way up shallow. Mm. I had two clients of mine had yesterday and the day before, and we were waiting around certain little points that come out, and he switched over to this crazy looking top water. I called it a flamingo because it was a flamingo. He was throwing that thing up almost to the bank, and those redfish were just absolutely crushing. Every time I hear a blow up, I'm like, man, I hope that's a trout. And every time it was a good slot red, but they sit around those. It's wind driven, that current that comes around that point. So those redfish will sit on the other side, waiting for that bait to come around that corner. And so my guy figured that out pretty quick. And he starts, every time we come up on one of those points, it's about 3 or 4 points out here in Baffin that I really like to fish. And he would get way up there by that point, switch over that top water, sure enough, boom, catch a couple redfish.
Awesome.
But it's so fun to just hear that blow up, even if you're not on the other side of the end of that line throwing it, so it's exciting watching that and watching clients pick up on that, real quickly. Like, man, they see what's going on. They see the wind driven current coming around that bend and realize that those redfish are on the other side. They're waiting. Waiting on them to come around, and he figured it out pretty quick. So, and we're throwing dark colors back in here. Of course, that Miralure Little John has been the top producing plastic.
Imagine that.
My clients and I all this year. So one of my guys caught a 6-pounder on one, Friday. He caught one on Friday. And then I caught a 7-pounder on a custom corky Darth Vader soft dime on Thursday.
Darth Vader, what color is that?
It is a black top with they have an insert in them. This one has like a copper insert, and on the side it's all chartreuse. So when you're working that soft dime, middle to upper column, whenever you jerk it up, they see that chartreuse on the bottom side, and man, they just absolutely hammer it.
Darth Vader. I like that.
It's a new color. That one's a new color. I think that one was added to the collection earlier this spring, I want to say. So that's a fantastic color. Anything with copper, purple, black, and chartreuse here and back has been just phenomenally.
When I was down there fishing with Cliff a few weeks ago, I was using that when we got them going on those 7M Miralures, the black back, the 23, and it had that copper, you know, the gold flash side with the yellow underbelly. They were nuking that thing. They were smoking it.
That's a great color. Yeah, that's the color that they're looking for. And of course, when in the mornings, if there's a little bit of clouds, it's a little bit of overcast, get a little bit, the sun starts to come up, and man, it shines through that water, that copper insert or any kind of copper gold shines through that water beautifully. And I think a lot of the times they see it real quickly in the peripheral and they just react
right
on it. So you know, this fresh water brought a lot of bait, and so it seems like where that line of fresh water is where that, where a lot of that bait is hanging out. And of course, fresh water is a lot cooler, so you're able to fish in that cool water throughout mid-morning into the afternoon and still get bites. And because of all the bait that's in Baffin, especially, you know, in back areas, it seems like they're feeding in little spurts throughout the day. You know, because they have so much food to go around. Of course, it seems like what I've seen, the big trout, they just eat when they want to eat, you know.
Well, that's true. Yeah, now, I've seen years up here. I remember one year, especially back in the 80s, where we had, you know, our early fall kicking off and the fish were coming real shallow. And if you didn't have a copper Johnson Sprite spoon, you could just watch the show. I mean, you could throw a gold, a silver, or you could throw all your other baits, but for whatever reason, copper was just, they were crazy over it.
That has been the magic color here lately, especially here in Baffin, in the darker colored water, that deep emerald green, which is the typical Baffin colored water. Yeah, the gold and copper have been an excellent color of choice. It has been a top producing color for clients and I as well. So it's producing some fantastic bites. And most of the trout that we've been catching, they're fully committed strikes. You can tell they're swiping at it. They're just, you know, they see it on their side. Just absolutely crush it. It's not like a little snap, or they just kind of grab it in their mouth and just run off with it. It is a fully committed bite. But like I said, those big trout, I've noticed that whenever I catch one, it's not during the said major or the said minor. It's like at a random time of the morning. Thursday, it was 20 minutes into our first wade. And I was like, man, I mean, that's like birdie in the first hole, you know? Then you're like, oh, man, it's going to be a bad round. You know, I have friends that say, if I birdie the first hole, I might as well just put my clubs up because it's going to be a bad round. on Thursday, I caught that. She was beautiful, 7-pounder. She was about 28 inches, very healthy. And the wind was blowing that morning, and all of a sudden went slick calm. And of course, we all know when it goes slick calm, the bite gets tougher.
Yeah, it does.
Fair enough, it did. So we switched over to tails and dropped lower. And I think the only other good fish that we caught that day was she was right at 5, and that was later, closer to around noon. And that was about it. So today, I've got two clients this morning, husband and wife, and the wind is looking like, I love it when there's just a little ripple out there. I'm looking at the water right now. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. So, you know, every day out here on Baffin is, you know, even though I've fished out here many times, every day is a new adventure. You never know what the day's going to hold or what you're going to learn today. And, you know, and I learn new things every day and see new things every day when I'm out here. And it's, you know, I'm beyond
blessed to do what I do.
Exactly. Living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
Oh, my goodness. I certainly am.
And well, hey, if someone wants to come down and enjoy that with you and catch some fish and throw some plugs, how they get a hold of you?
Well, my number is 361-296-5400. I will be here in Baffin until July 10th. I've got some days available until then. The weather is looking very nice for the next week and a half or so. Big trout are here. The water is beautiful. So I primarily wade fish without fishing. So give me a call and let's go catch some big girls.
Cool deal. All right, Rihanna, have you a good day today. Catch them up. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Mickey. You have a
good day. Thank you. See you. All right, later. All right, that's Rihanna De La Cruz down in Baffin this morning. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse. Croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to keep your bait alive or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand at the store. They have all their different size bottles on display, plus their regulators, diffusers. They refill your bottles there at the store. And, you know, if you need more info on it, you can call Jason Cogburn at 281-8107. And while you're there, check out all their wild-caught Gulf shrimp. No farm-raised at Boyd's. It's all Gulf shrimp. And check out their 9-12s, their 15-18s, whatever size you like. They have good quantity and great prices. And their Cajun Grill next door, they put out some really good food there. So if you're out on a diet and get hungry, go back to the Cajun Grill. Check it out. Go to boydsonestop.com or you can call them at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
I was sitting there thinking about her pretty face, kicking myself for not catching her name. I threw my hat and thought you fool, you could have been love. I knew my old four couldn't run her down.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 620 here in the Bayou City on a Sunday morning. All right. Let's run down Galveston way. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Steve Hillman, this morning. Hey, Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good. How are you doing this morning?
Couldn't be better.
I was just talking to Jake for one last time. Wish him good luck in his new venture. I'm going to miss that guy.
I know. Well, we're going to miss him.
He's a good dude, man. He's unbelievable. Awesome. Yeah. But, no, man, I'm off. Finally off today. 7 days in a row. I was looking back
good
at
for
my
you.
Calendar. I know. Now I got to go mow my mom's property and get caught up on stuff around here.
Hey, it never ends, brother. It never ends.
But I've got my truck this morning. My ignition's messing up. I've had everything mess up in this daggum truck. I just had.
Boy, you've been on a roll, hadn't you?
Man. Well, when you drive a truck that's 21 years old and in and out of salt water every day, I guess it's finally taking its toll. But had my whole front end, had Kerry Ferguson over there at Bubba's. Bubba's out of town, but they and basically rebuilt pretty much my whole front end this week.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Truck for the first, yeah, and just golly, between new tires and ball joints and bearings and everything else, I basically fished for free all week.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of like that drug commercial, you know. I got to work more hours so I can make more money so I can buy more Coke.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Gads are just, you know, it rains, it pours, man. You're just stuck in a mud hole and you're just spinning your wheels and then
I tell you,
come
man,
out
yeah,
of it.
Exactly. It's like being a hamster in one of those little plastic wheels they run in or whatever. But you're running really fast,
that's it.
But not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah, but no, it's been I can't believe we're halfway through the year already. Golly.
I know. It's going by fast, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's been a really good month of June. It's actually been a good year in general, but I was looking back this morning at my calendar, and only prior to the tropical storm week, which was, what, week before last or last week or whatever,
I only
lost one day the whole month. And that was because my lower unit went out. That wasn't because of weather. But it's been a good month of fishing, and it really didn't hit any slow times until this past Tuesday and Wednesday. I had those two kind of slow days.
Yeah.
And then it kind of picked back up Thursday. Thursday we had some new guys. We had 16 trout that day. And then Friday, who did I have Friday? Oh, I had David Carroll and Keith Burns, or Burke rather. And we pulled off the trout that morning, went checking on stuff, and we still caught 16 trout that morning. 16, you know, I'm talking about keepers.
Yeah, slot size, you know.
Yeah, trout. Slots or whatever.
Yeah, slots now. We're into slots now on trout.
Yeah, the slots and overs and unders.
Not counting all the throwbacks, over and unders that you know, have to contend with. So.
Yeah, our ratio got really crappy there for a couple of days as far as keepers.
Well, you got a 5-inch window to work with now, you know, 15 to 20.
Yeah, but I mean, the undersize, there's some areas. Now, it was a lot better. Our ratio was a lot better yesterday. But there's some areas that, my goodness, you can sit there.
It's kindergarten city, huh?
It's insane, man. And I guess, like we were saying the other day, I guess these fish got pumped out of the marsh when the rivers were dumping and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these fish are in areas.
Yeah, because those are your nursery fish, man, estuary stuff, where they grow up in the bayous and the marsh.
That's it. And they've got that color to them, man, that black back.
With the yellow, goldenish fins and all that hue to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can tell, because a lot of the fish I'm catching are tide runners. You know, when Richard and I waited last Sunday, we were in an area, and we did really well, and we weren't catching tide runners, but we were a long way from the Gulf, and those were resident fish. But I've switched horses two times since then, and there as I'm fishing now, I'm on the southern portion of the bay, and they're all tide runners. Those ones we caught yesterday. Oh my God, man! You hook them, and I mean they're jumping out of the water, doing somersaults, and going crazy.
Yeah, that's tide runners.
They are, and they're still more silver. They're tight skinned and
leaner.
Of course, you got everything in the world trying to eat them.
Well, true. I saw that video the other day. You threw that trout in the water, and like four. Porpoises, you know, dolphins blew up on it. I'm going, my goodness.
Oh, those are just the ones you could see.
That looked like what Cliff and I were going through, you know, down at Baffin.
Really?
When I went down there and fished. We'd have to just move the dolphins that get so bad around the boat. I mean, there's no sense in catching a fish because we weren't killing anything. And to throw it back in the water was instant death.
So no, that's
it. We just have to leave.
That's what we did. We left, and we'd already caught a bunch of fish, and we left and did some other stuff, and then and came back, and we didn't have a problem with them again. I guess we left long enough, but of course our bite wasn't as good either. But yeah, yesterday it was the same deal. It was the same exact deal. I had a corporate deal yesterday, and had six boats, and you know you book this stuff back in January and February. Because I try to take Saturdays off, and then it rolls, and it doesn't seem so bad back in the winter when you need to get booked, and then it gets to that date, and you're like, why in the world did I book a Saturday, you know? And it's blowing like 18 yesterday morning out of the south-southwest. It actually ended up getting a little bit of east in it later, and it got nice, There was a big tournament yesterday out of Topwater, the HEL tournament. I don't know how many boats were in that. And there was a big tournament the day before that. But I don't know where all the boats were, but I actually didn't see a lot of boats.
They were all down in Hammer's backyard yesterday. He said it was unbelievable down. Oh yeah. That's what he was telling me this morning. I mean, those ramps. All the parking lots were full and overflowing.
Wow. But we didn't have anybody around us for the most part. It was really nice, and we got on pretty good yesterday morning. I was really surprised. We caught 23 pretty nice trout, and then we just went. And we didn't have many throwbacks. We only had like maybe 15 or 20 throwbacks yesterday on top of that. But then we went just cruising around looking at different stuff. Honestly, kind of for me, I had guys that have fished me before. One of them had, but yeah. John Anderson fished me before. And then I had Larry Lockwa and his son Kyle yesterday, and they'd never fished me. They used to fish. Larry fished with James a ton through the years, mm-hmm. but all of them pretty good sticks, man. We had a really good time. It was a really easy trip. That made it easy on me.
Sure.
But we went bouncing around, just hitting different sandbars and little pieces of shell. And everything now for me is drop-offs, just all ledges. Yeah. Oh, and so Friday when I talked to you, I mentioned that I hadn't seen any of these fish pull out in the deep mud yet, on that cool mud.
Right.
You know that. Well, yesterday we caught some out on the mud yesterday for the first time.
Well, it's hot, man. I mean, yeah. we're going into that pattern now. I mean, look at these water temps.
It's crazy. I know. I told the guys yesterday, I said, man, I'm worried about what July and August are going to be like. It's been so hot in May and June.
I mean, it's June and we've got August water temps.
I know it. 87 degrees it hit yesterday, what I saw. When we came in, at about noon, a little before noon. But now everything, the color pattern for me kind of changed. The water's getting green in a lot of areas now. Now that the Lake Livingston Dam is down to, 17.5, which is still, that's still some water coming down.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, up there it's quit, but still down by me, you know, the marsh is full and the river's mm-hmm. out of banks. But that'll all recede, but. If the dam doesn't break, like they said it was.
Yeah, man, what is going on?
I don't know. You know how much, how many trillions and trillions of gallons have come through that dam in the last 6 or 8 years? My gosh.
Shoot, since it's been there, since the 70s, God only knows. I mean, it seems to have gotten worse, though. Doesn't it, in recent years, that we get more, excuse me, it seems like we get more water when they open it. Like it's like all or nothing. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But now the water's gotten better, and with some of these bright sunny days, the best color hands down the last 3 days, it's been that little Bass Assassin sea shad in the chartreuse with silver glitter.
Yeah.
That's been unbeatable. Now Larry, he caught quite a few yesterday on a watermelon red Little John. Watermelon red glitter, I think it's called, Little John, and I caught a bunch the day before that on a purple Little John. So, I mean, you know, maybe it could just be what you want to throw. Well, when David was with us, David and Keith on Friday, you know, David's been fishing with you and James and all y'all for years and years and years. He's seen it all.
Forever. I can't believe he's still that mad at him.
He's still mad at him. He's unbelievably mad at him. I hope I'm still mad at him at that age, but
yeah.
Anyway,
no joke.
So he opens his soft plastic bag. You know, he's got one of those deals with the clear plastic pouches.
Yeah, like the bass guys use with their worms in them. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got one pouch is full of red Kelly Wigglers with white tail. And I said, man, let me have one of those, and I put it on an 1/8 ounce Pro Elite jig head, which is what I had on anyway. Man, I went to catch the crap out of them on that shrimp tail, and they were bigger fish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was just fixing totally to bring different. That up. We're getting to that time of year where shrimp imitation baits, and that's what the Little John, I think that's what it imitates the most is a shrimp tail.
Right.
And then when
right.
you go to the real shrimp tails, like the old Kelly Wigglers and Hoagies, I mean,
yeah.
the fish haven't changed. We have from what we throw. I mean,
no, for sure. And
those shrimp tails,
man,
we caught so many giant trout on those over the years back in the 80s and 90s. It's crazy.
Well, I loved the action on this thing with that.
Well, sure.
You know, when we used, here's the deal, Mickey, when we used to throw them And I'm not telling you anything.
We didn't have the equipment we do now.
Well, we didn't have the equipment. And 98% of the time, we were putting a big 3/8 ounce gumball head on it.
Yeah.
And hey, I've never in my life thrown, until Friday, thrown a Kelly Wiggler shrimp tail on an 1/8 ounce Pro Elite jig head. And that thing hovered in the water so beautifully. I mean, it just... we're in decent water, and I'm just watching this thing swim through the water while I'm popping it. And it's no wonder they were hammering it. I mean, I think I might be on to something with that.
Well, you know, back, remember when Paul Brown, you know, he made the shrimp tails with the little legs on them.
Right.
And
Mr. Brown did,
out
right?
That, yeah, Paul did. And then he came out with the, what he called the Texas John. He made me up some in the... smoke with a little black glitter in them and a chartreuse tail. And
you know, the ones with the wider tail, the ones that had the
wider tail. Yeah, they had the wider tail, and they were real big, and we'd put them on like an 1/8 ounce head back then, and where they'd sink slower. Oh, my gosh. I don't know how many big giant trout we caught on those over the years. I think he called it a Texas John, if I'm not mistaken.
I vaguely remember. I remember.
Remember those?
I
mean, they were big old giant shrimp tails, man, and they were real buoyant. They didn't sink as fast, and man, you keep it in the strike. Man, they were really great wade fishing with a light head. We used to nuke.
No, I remember those. And then we were talking about the worm bar at Mike Carlisle's place at Pine Plaza Sporting Goods when, you know, Dickinson there for years and years and years, and he had a of course he had all the soft plastic, all the tout tails in there. But then there was this one bucktail-looking thing that I remember Dad and I got a bunch of them. It had like a shrimp body, but then it had two like frog legs or whatever that curled around and came off the back of it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they're twiddle tails, we called them.
Man, those were deadly too.
Yeah,
those
they were
weird-looking baits. But God, all the stuff we used to throw at them, and then you. I don't know when. I guess it was like the late 80s, early 90s when everything kind of started evolving into more of the paddle tail and rat tail, straight rat tail base. Well,
see, now, Hoagie, he had a shad tail that was just unbelievable way
the
before anybody else did. Remember that?
Remember
and he had the smoke one. It looked like a real shad. Oh, my goodness.
And the root beer. There was a root beer one. That
right.
Was
he had the root beer and pumpkin seed and those colors. It worked big time. Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back at you. Hang on a second.
Okay. All right.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 640 here in the Bayou City. Well, that's the last time I'll be able to hear Jake tell me my mic is hot coming back in after a segment. Sure going to miss this boy or guy. Good fella, Steve.
Yeah, man.
What's your thoughts, brother? It's been a good run.
Oh, shoot. Jake's been there a while, too.
Yeah,
I've been at the station 8 years since 2016. The very first show I ever trained on was the outdoor show when Leslie T. Travis was the producer.
I remember her. Wow.
Yep.
Well, you've done a hell of a job, man. We're gonna miss you.
Thank you. It's gonna be strange. It's gonna be strange actually sleeping in the morning.
Well, I've got your number. We'll stay in touch.
Yeah, I'll be sending him text. Jake and I always text during the Astro games and stuff.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And, you know,
awesome.
Without going into too much detail, we're definitely going to be talking in the next few months. We got some big stuff coming in November we're going to be talking about.
Oh, cool.
Good deal, man.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your new venture and the best of luck to you, man.
Well, and we'll have Jace back. You remember Jace? He used to do a lot of the shows.
I talked to him earlier. Yep.
He'll be pulling up in behind Jake now, so it's not all bad. It's not all bad.
We're leaving Captain Mickey in some good hands.
He's in capable hands. He's it for sure. 100%.
And I like Jace. He's always been good with me.
And Let y'all know the music's not going anywhere. I've talked to Jace. We're still right. going with the same DJ style. So,
yeah,
good deal.
So y'all's cool. music yeah, like isn't that. Going anywhere.
I like that one you just played. Lay my head on the railroad track, waiting on.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yes, that's Kathy Mattea.
Just don't pitiful. Leave that head on the railroad track.
That's a good one to play when I'm coming on. Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
Well, good deal.
I did want to say, seeing how I'm on air with y'all right now, I want to say thank you to everybody that has listened to me in the past 8 years who's listened to my work. I would like to say thank you to Laura Reynolds for 8 years ago giving me the opportunity and the chance to grow in the
industry
of radio.
She's awesome. She's the best, man.
She is. Out of the blue.
Really admire her.
I never really had history in radio, and she gave me the opportunity to jump right in. I want to thank the late, great Cleverly Stone.
Yep.
I worked for her show.
You did shows for her. That's right. You did for Cleverly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She passed during the pandemic. And so thank you to everybody. Thank you to all the program directors that I have worked under. And I thank all the producers that have worked with me, and I have worked and shared my knowledge with them. And to you, Captain Mickey, thank you. I appreciate the last year and a half. It has been a blast to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, work with you till 6 or 7 in the morning. Thank you.
Oh, man. I can't believe you're thanking me for that. All those hours. Hey, you're not even going to. I don't know how long it's going to take you to get over not having to do this. I mean, it messes me up so bad when my days, the 3 days off I have, it's yes. I can't even describe it. It's yes. crazy.
It's you don't get back into the function of things till Wednesday, and then Wednesday you
realize.
And
then you
got
to go back to it. Exactly.
Yep.
Pretty nuts.
Yep. So I actually have some alarms on my phone. I haven't decided if I'm going to turn off when I leave here or if I'm going to wait to have my girlfriend turn them off, because now she doesn't have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, you know what's going to be funny? Next week, I'm going to forget that you're gone. I'm going to text you the call list and wake you up in the morning. Oh, boy. But I got Jace's number. I'll be texting him. Hopefully I won't mess up and send it to you.
Hey, I think we only have, two letters that are different, so.
Yeah.
Got to make sure you're awake for that.
I'm good. I'll handle it, man. But Jake, I've had a lot of producers. Well, I'll be here this year 17 years, and you're one of the best.
Thank you. I'll
always remember you, man.
Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, that means a lot. Thank you.
You know, and we've made good friends over that time, too.
We have.
I cherish that.
You absolutely have.
You're a great guy. You're my kind of guy, man.
Thank you. I was raised properly.
Yeah, you were. You had a good upbringing.
I did.
Hats off to your parents.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Hillman, you got anything like to add to that?
it just makes our lives so much easier when you have a producer like Jake. He's just on top of his game, and it pleasure to talk to every weekend when he calls us, and you hit it out of the park every week, man. You're one of the best, like Mickey said.
I appreciate your words. Thank you.
No, we appreciate you.
Yeah, we'll definitely miss you. No doubt. Well, I guess that's it. No, we still got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah. Hey, Mickey, I was going to ask you a question about these slicks.
What do I know about slicks, man?
I don't know. You ever seen one? Do you even know what one looks like?
Man, I think I know what they smell like, but yeah.
So, hey, this week especially, so in years past, correct me if I'm wrong, I know my experience, we use slicks to find these trout a lot of times in the summer.
Yes.
And when we see them, we set up on them based on the wind speed, wind direction, current speed,
all that, yeah.
All the above. We set up our drift, you know, upwind to these slicks. We look at the size of them.
That's the most important thing is the size of them.
Yeah, try to determine how far upwind and up current they originated from. And so we all know how to work slicks. But man,
well, not all of us, but some of us do. Yeah, there's a handful that do it properly.
True story. But in the past, it's like if you set up on them right, you say you've got three or four little hula hoop size slicks that just popped, and you set up on them, and you go to town on them, right? You start getting bit. Well, in recent years, and especially this year, it's like yesterday, we'd already caught quite a few fish. Like I said, we went and bounced around looking at stuff. We pulled up on this one ridge, beautiful slicks popping up, man. And I'd caught some fish there the day before, so I knew they were trout. I mean, we know what a trout slick looks and smells like anyway.
Yeah.
And, man, we did catch one really nice trout out of them, but they seem to be – it's like now when you see the slicks, it's almost like they seem to be done feeding. You know what I mean? And in years past, unless my memory is just skewed.
No, this is a good thing you brought up, because here's the deal. This is my theory on it anyway. Mm-hmm. Back when we used to, you know, have so many fish, and then when you'd get, you know, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 slicks, you knew you had a pretty good pile of fish there.
Right.
But the ones that are slicking off, they may be full, and they're through feeding. They're just swimming around with the rest of the school burping, but you got all the others that aren't popping slicks, and you're catching them. I mean, that's I just think we've narrowed it down. The schools are smaller now.
Smaller, yeah.
And then when you do get, you know, some slick activity like that, there's just not enough fish to go around where you can catch the fish that that aren't off feed yet, like the ones that are slicking. Because they're not going to slick unless they're full of food.
Right. I mean, there's feeding slicks, too. You got, these are throw-up slicks I'm talking about.
Yeah, and they may be, you know. But, I mean, I used to ride around and run over them intentionally to make them pop slicks,
them
what
slick.
I call spook slicks, and then get them moving in one direction. And then, you know, and there was times back when we had millions of fish, I would have to stay on a school for over an hour before we ever caught one. I'd chase those fish for, I don't know, quarter mile, half a mile across open water till I finally got them to light off. Once you start catching them, and then they all come to life. It's just and, you know, I guess now we don't give it the time we used to. I mean, my customers would get aggravated, go, man, well, these fish just aren't going to bite. I said, they are going to bite. We're gonna run them till they're dead tired and they're out of food and they're going to have to feed. And that's what I do. Well, I just stay on them. Just
I had a guy tell me that day, a new guy, he said, and we'd already caught, I don't know, 10 or 11 trout, and they're really slick and good, and we couldn't buy a bite. And he said, man, I guess they're just not here. I said, dude, these aren't crab slicks. These are trout slicks, you know?
Exactly. And,
I'm looking at them. I'm smelling them. But, and the other thing I've noticed is, well, I've always noticed, when these trout are done feeding, you'll see a slick pop, and then you'll see a slick pop 30, 40 yards from that slick, and then you'll see another one pop 40, 50 yards from that one when they're done feeding. When they're in a frenzy, those trout will stay put. They'll stay in one spot. They're not
right.
But when they're done, they're milling around, just kind of burping up. You know, they're done. They're lazily just milling around and puking up, you know, whatever they ate, shad or whatever. Most of them, in our case, shad right now.
Yeah,
but most of the trout were
real oily, greasy slicks, man.
Yeah, exactly. But about the oiliest
sweet
slicks
smelling.
You'll ever see. Yeah, man. But no, I just wonder if it's so. You've seen that all your career.
Oh yeah,
too.
Forever as long as I've been doing it. And I tell you, the scenario I like is when you've been pestering that school for a while, and they've been popping up the real good, shiny, oily, greasy, you know, good smelling slicks and all that, and then you'll see them move a little bit more, and then all of a sudden you start seeing what I call poop slicks when they, you know, poop in the water.
Yeah,
they'll
those
come
are
up,
out. Yeah.
Yeah, and they'll appear. You'll see them, and then they'll just dissipate. That's when they're
out.
Pooping, and that's when the food's worked. It's all the way through their system out the back, and then that's when they start turning on. When you start getting poop slicks, man, they'll light off like nobody's business.
I agree. Those and then the feeding slicks. You know, there's three different kinds of slicks. There's the one just talked about, the throw up slicks. Those are the most well defined, in my opinion. The good hard edge oily slick, and then you've got the poop slicks, like you just talked about. They're kind of they bleed out really fast, really quickly, and then you've got the actual feeding slicks. When they just really go to town, when they're just in a frenzy.
Yeah, and it all turns into one big giant slick that's about as big as a football field.
That's it, because when that oil comes to surface.
Watch out.
Yeah, man. No, it's that's when you really get excited, when you see all those. I just call them popcorn slicks. They all pop up at the same time. They're just crazy.
Spot on. I really like it when I'm wading the shoreline and I hear this big blow up. And then I look behind me, and I see this slick coming up where the blow-up was. I said, something just died right there. There's blood in the water there, buddy. Start throwing.
Hey, we were waiting.
Boy, that's good stuff there, man.
Well, Richard and I were waiting the other day, and it had slowed up a little bit. We're on a big flat, and I'm getting ready to make a move. And, of course, we had a little breeze that morning, and man, the smell just hit me, and you know how you look over your shoulder upwind, and I'm like, golly, there they are. They're 150 yards upwind, and we walk up and walk right into them again.
You know,
if people would just pay attention, and I know it's a cliche
phrase. Read the water, man. Read the
keep
signs.
Keep your head on a swivel. Yes, exactly. If they'll just learn to fish with their eyes, they'll catch twice as many fish.
I mean, before we run out of time, you know, people go, well, how'd you find all these places? Well, the fish showed them to me. Like all my open water hard spots and everything in the middle of Trinity and East Bay, you know, maps or charts or GPS, they didn't show me all this stuff. We found that because of the fish being on it and popping slicks or running bait. And then once you get there and you catch them, you've got that place marked. It's yours.
That's it. And the rest is history. Yeah.
Yeah, and you just got to put the time in. I mean, it just... I stumbled on so many places like that by just reading the water and the signs. And then I'd say there's a reason these fish are here. And guess what? You have bottom structure. Nine times out of ten, you'll always have bottom structure of some kind.
For sure. That one spot up your way that you and I have talked about, I can't say the name of it on the radio, but...
No, please don't.
I was going past that. This is probably 15 years ago. We're headed from spot A to spot B, if you will, and there's these slicks popping. I'm like, I don't have no clue what's down there. And I spin around, and we line up on them. I knew there were trout slicks.
Yeah.
And we start catching a few, and then everybody starts getting hung up on bottom structure. And so, obviously, I'm marking them on
the
sheet.
There you go.
Hey, and for the rest, I mean, the rest is history. Every year since.
The rest is history.
You know, but yeah, that's how you find stuff. You just pay attention. But a lot of these guys are going 70 miles an hour across the bay. Their face tucked in behind their windshield or in their GPS, and they miss so much on the way to the so-called hot spot.
That's it. 70 miles an hour with their hair on fire, man. It's hard to find fish running that fast. I never have. Well, Steve, I got to run. We're out of time, buddy. If somebody wants to call you about fishing Galveston Bay, I highly recommend it, how they get a hold of you, man.
Yeah, man, I've got a handful of holes from August through December to fill.
All right.
I think we'll have a decent year the rest of the year. I'm looking that way anyway. 409-256-7937.
All right, buddy. You have a good one. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks. Yep, I appreciate
it. Later, buddy. All right. Well, Jake, it's been a hell of a ride, buddy. I've enjoyed every minute of it, and I'm going to miss you. And I wish you the best with your new career. And
thank you.
You know, you're just I love you, man. You've always been really good to me, and I appreciate everything you've done to make this show better every week.
Thank you very much, and I hope you're in good hands with Jace. If not,
I know I
we'll
am.
Come and have to make a sequel. And come fix some things.
You got it. If you're ever in a neighborhood, drop in, baby.
Will do.
All right. Thanks, buddy. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. But we won't be back July 4th. CBS is going to be running shows all day that day. But we'll be back Friday morning, bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.